All right, we want to take a few moments to tell you about one of our very good friends of the show, Aligned Health Center. Aligned Health Center is the first chiropractic biophysics clinic in Northern Ohio serving patients in Westlake. The team at Aligned Health Center helps patients with back pain, neck pain, migraines, ADHD, digestive issues, sleep disturbance, whiplash, scoliosis, and much more. The mission at Aligned Health Center is simple: to help people in Westlake and Beechwood areas achieve the best possible health and overall wellness. They know what it's like to have constant neck and back pain. It's no fun, and they are here to help. And as a special offer for the Oranges Oranger listeners, it's you guys, Aligned Health Center is offering a free exam to our incredible fans. That's right, free exam at no cost just for you. So give Aligned Health Center a call at 440-230-6865 or visit their website at alignedhealthcenters.com to make an appointment and to learn more about how Aligned Health Center can help you. Make sure you mention Oranger at checkout to receive the free offer. Again, that's 440-230-6865 or visit alignedhealthcenters.com.
Part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
Run, William, run! He's got blockers in front! Five! Touchdown! Joshua Cripps turns disaster into a score! Kick block! They block the kick!
Tyvus, you know who had a really good quote kind of recently? Like a really good true quote.
Kanye West.
No, but not that far off.
Jay-Z.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
What the heck?
You know what he said? The Browns is the Browns. That's what he said.
Browns will be the Browns.
Browns is the Browns.
Same old Browns? Is that what you're talking about?
The same old Browns. And that's what we are.
That's sad.
That's what we are.
That's sad, Holly.
Isn't it?
That's where you at.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. You know why?
It breaks my heart.
Well,
you hear it. This.
It breaks mine. My heart gets broken every Sunday.
I'm not there, like, at all.
I know you're not. You're the only person on this planet that isn't. Well, and I don't understand it, which I'm going to ask you. And I think that I do want you to break down those two final touchdowns, because I know you and I were texting about it last night, but just the different coverages, and obviously there's stuff that came out today, lots of finger pointing. But I want to first start out with the fact that obviously there's a lot of different things that are wrong with this team, and I think what's been extremely frustrating over the last couple years is the fact that we actually have a real roster of talent. These guys have the opportunity to win now. Granted, we're dealing with the quarterback situation, which is another issue that we have to get through. And it's frustrating. I feel like there's no accountability on this team across the board. And I don't get these patterns that we get ourselves into as a Cleveland Browns fan, where if it, the one pattern is we're just always in this shitty, like, coach swap, right? From one to one to one. We're in this pattern, Tyvus, from coach to coach to coach, from quarterback to quarterback to quarterback to not winning ever, really. One winning season, right? One playoff appearance, one playoff win, right? The last time, I mean, the fact that they were going through that list, by the way, of like how cheap gas was back however many years ago that the Browns won their last, that the Browns were 2-0. It's just embarrassing. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed as a Browns fan. I'm upset. And I can look at it from two ways, right? I can look at it because I'm going to get this off my chest right now, because I know that you're going to start to just take this back and go on this full positive situation.
I haven't said anything.
I know it.
Do your thing.
But I'm waiting.
I'm just listening. Go ahead. Do your thing. Get it out. It's, you know, they say that it's better to get things out than to keep it bottled in. So please, just get it all out. Do your thing. Let me know when you're ready.
Oh, okay. There is, like I said, there's no accountability across the board with this team. And there's no real, I never feel like we have ever been in any somewhat of a comfortable space. And I know that we joke about that being where we are as Browns fans. And it's like, well, the game's not over yet, because it's literally never over yet, because that's when we can't close games. And I know there's a million different reasons up and down the board of why we haven't, different scenarios, all of that. But this weekend, this year, this team, this roster, we have to have better standards. We just have to have better standards. It's beyond frustrating. And I feel for people that are major fans who spend their hardworking money to go watch this team play, to have Myles Garrett say to them that they're not allowed to boo, which he wasn't even asked about. When you're out there doing that, the flip-flopping of that, this is a business and then this is a fan, and we all do it. We go back and forth of when we decide to see the NFL as a business versus the NFL as a fan. I do it all the time. I'm doing it right now. But it's hard, because when you are a fan, but you know it's a business, and I know that you also have a completely different outlook on this and perspective because you played.
Yes.
So what I'm here to do for you, which is what you do for me, is explain to you as a fan or as someone that understands the business side of it, how what happened on Sunday is not okay. It's not okay. And they're lucky they have a short week. And that was my TED Talk to start out this podcast. So please, by all means, Tyvus, start from the beginning. Let's talk about how, you know, this is nothing, and
okay,
the reason behind all of it.
Okay, so for me, was it bad? Absolutely. It was 1,000% bad. One of the worst finishes to a game that I've ever witnessed in my life. The reason that I'm over it is because a couple of reasons. One, obviously, I've been there, and this is one of those things that you really don't have a lot of time to dwell on it. You have to turn the page, because Pittsburgh is coming into town. Now, for the fans, yeah, I get it. You got all week to dwell on it. You got till Thursday to dwell on it. But I'm in a player's mindset still to this day, where it's like, all right, it happened, and I'm glad it happened. Let me tell you why I'm glad it happened.
Twice in 2 weeks.
Exactly. Let me tell you why. Because after the Carolina game, okay, it was one of those things that, you know, yeah, we busted the coverage, but we still won the game, Holly. So we'll fix it. Don't worry. We'll get it fixed. You know, we'll correct it. But, you know, we won the game. That's the good news.
And you told me we were going to fix it. You told me that last week.
Oh yeah, it is. That see, those are two totally different things. See, what happened in Carolina, you can blame that on coaching. If y'all want to put it on the coach, you can put that on coaching, because he wasn't clear. He allowed it to be gray area in this defense on that particular play. Well, I'm sure they eliminated that gray area. This week, with the whole Denzel thing at the end, or nobody could figure out what coverage they were in, and Denzel comes out today and say he was in cover too. Well, I told y'all that he was in cover too. I knew that. But the thing about the reason that I know Denzel is wrong, and I feel bad, because I don't know why he just doesn't say, I messed up. Because if you go back and you watch it, you got 10 guys that's playing cover three, and then you got him by himself playing cover two. If 10 people are playing something and one person's not, that one person typically is wrong. Now, I think I heard something about Grant Delpit saying that, you know, it was like a call where certain formations, we play it this way, and everybody didn't view it the same way. Obviously, Denzel didn't see it the way the other 10 players saw it, so which caused him to play something totally different. With that being said, I think they need to eliminate. That's when the communication and the hand signs come in a big part. And I think moving forward, like I just tweeted, it's gonna look like they throwing up gang signs this Thursday, because they will be communicating. You would think that they're deaf and they're using sign language, because they're gonna be putting it on tape to make sure that everybody is on the same page. When you lose in a fashion like this, now it's emphasized. Now it's the number one thing that's on your mind. Oh, then the coach is going to say, trust me, I've been a part of this. The coach is going to say, if you don't do it on tape, then I'm going to assume that you don't have it. The only way that I know that I know that you guys know what's going on is I have to see you do a hand signal on tape, and I need to see it. So they're going to overdo that. We'll probably see it. Y'all going to probably be watching the game Thursday. Like, why they keep throwing up all these signs? Well, they're communicating with each other. So that's one way to get that fixed.
And when are they going to do that, by the way, with this short week? Like, what's the...
Oh, they... So when you got a short week like this, you don't do... You practice. You're going to practice probably like a walkthrough Tuesday. It's all walkthroughs. You won't be putting on pads. It'll be a walkthrough Monday, walkthrough Tuesday. Obviously, Wednesday is the last little thing, and then Thursday is the game. But they'll be in practice, and they're going to literally make them not talk but do hand signs to each other so everybody get it. When I was in San Fran and we ran this defense, the way we got our call was – we didn't huddle up. It's two ways to get the call. They got the guy, the linebacker usually has the mic in his – or whatever, whoever got the green dot or whatever – is the one that he can hear the coach and gets the call, and he relays it to everybody. But how we did it was everybody looked to the sideline, and you found the defensive coordinator, and he signaled the call to you. So once you got that signal, you passed that signal from the corner to the safety to the safety to the corner. So everybody is all on the same page. And that's what you'll probably see those guys doing. Now, I'm glad it happened because I think this is going to nip the communication errors in the bud. When you lose a game because of it, you're never going to want to make that mistake again. And I do believe that they do have leaders in the secondary. My guess would be it's probably John Johnson, because he's the one that's not afraid to really speak his mind. He'll tell you like it is. And everybody respects guys like that. Anybody that's going to be 100% honest with you, you tend to lean towards that person. So I'm pretty sure he's going to overemphasize that everybody has to use hand signals in this game. And we won't see coverage. But that's why I tweeted. I said, I'm confident that they won't do it again. Now that you've lost because of it, you will make sure that you won't ever do it again. So that's why I'm extremely confident. And I'm not worried about it like most people are. A lot of people are like, well, this has been happening for years. And granted, yeah, I get it, because it's a new system. So he's
but it's
been
the same. These guys have been together, Tyvus, for 3 years.
Holly, listen. The first year, year one is going to be coverage bust because it's the first time everybody's heard it. Last year, there was a bunch of new pieces that came in on this defense that's never played it. So technically, you're going back to year one again. So yeah, it's going to be coverage bust. This year, I don't know what happened. The first game, I told you what happened. It was gray area in there, so you could blame that on the coach. I guarantee you they fixed that. Now, this past week is literally because Denzel didn't get the call or he didn't understand the right call. That's literally what it is. And people be calling Joe Woods this terrible defensive coordinator, and it makes me laugh because the plays that he's calling actually would work if they ran them correctly. And I know this because obviously I've ran them before. So it bothers me. Like the Robbie Anderson, if it was ran correctly, he's double teamed in the post. G New and Dale Pitt is on him in the post, and it's a no play. If Denzel actually played the right thing on this last game, then freaking Corey Davis he's on the top of Corey Davis challenging the ball, and that's a no play. So the plays that's actually being called are the right defensive calls that you're supposed to make as a defensive coordinator, but the players just don't execute it. So I don't understand how people can be happy with a guy who it was 30-17. He's held a whole offense to 17 points for 58 minutes, had one coverage bust in the red zone. So it really should have only been 10 points. But we'll give them the coverage bust. So 17 points in a game for 58 minutes, and y'all want this guy fired because of something that players did? Like I don't get that.
But
like,
when do you
hold the players accountable? That's like, I get the coaches, but when is the players like, okay, like it's actually a great call, but like they just didn't run it right.
Right. Well, the Joe Woods, first of all, the defense for the first half of the year last year wasn't great. They picked it up at the second half of the year. Okay. For one. Yeah. Two, you could say not necessarily Joe Woods, but you could say it was coaching the second game too, because it should have been on Stefanski if you wanted Chubb to step out, right? The no mas.
Are you talking offensively?
on that end, right? Just for the game losing.
Yeah,
on the,
I think he came out and said that. And like he would probably, if he could go back, obviously he would want them to do that. But like,
how right? So why I'm saying he could, we could have that you could put that on coaching. I know it's not Joe Woods, I know it's not the defense, but you could put that on coaching, right? So
now, can you though?
Can you not? How if Stefanski doesn't call that? If he was supposed to call that, if that's what people want to hang their hat on that.
Let me ask you this, Holly. Let me ask you this: if you say it's a 2 minute situation, and you're a player. And you get the and you're a running back and you're Nick Chubb and you get the open field and you like, I'm gonna just go ahead and score. So I'm going up two scores. Who in the world thinks that if you go up two scores under 2 minutes, like how is that bad?
I'm with you. No, look, I'd rather take that over the other any day. But I'm trying to look at every other possibility, right? If the people that want to hang their hat on that, then it does go back to coaching. At least on that end. But at the end of the day, with Joe Woods, there's been a lack of discipline too on this team. There was a lack of discipline when it came to all of the penalties last year. Also, at the end of the day, the discipline is lacking. It lacked last year on a lot of different fronts, but the penalties, the dumb ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then here we are this year. I just don't know how that game won when Cade York bailed our ass out at the end of the game, that is not something that's emphasized, because we could have lost because of that, because of the miscommunication.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of brushed under the rug for the most part because we won in the locker room? I mean, what's the...
Well, see, so this is how it would go.
Which I didn't... That's ridiculous.
So this is how it would go. So this is the thing. And this is... I learned this when I was actually in Seattle my rookie year. So it's teams that is just content with winning. You got to understand that there's a difference from winning and wanting to be the best. Like in Seattle... It meant something to them to be not just the best, but to be the number one defense. I literally watched two people get into a fight during a game over a one passing touchdown. Like it was that serious where it was like, listen, you messing up our stats. Like we supposed to hold it down. And then I watched when we were blowing teams out and the backups would go in. Like, they would hold them accountable. Like, y'all can't give up yards because y'all messing up our stat line. Like, we trying to be number one. So, it makes me think that the mindset just isn't there yet, but I can see it progressing. So, like, they're content because they won the game. And, yes, you go in on Mondays. You do your meetings. The coach is going to explain all the things that happened, teach you how to be better, point out your flaws. And as a player – you're not supposed to make those mistakes again. And you're going to be tested again because this is a copycat league and somebody's going to go find those.
Clearly.
Again. Exactly. And then you have on top of that, I get that it's the Jets. And I think this is the problem. I get that it's the Jets. But what y'all don't realize is that one, Robert Saleh was like one of the people that kind of made this defense. And Joe Woods got the defense from him. So he knows it like the back of his hands, which means he knows how to beat it. Mike LaFleur was with us in San Francisco as the offensive coordinator and assistant, and he is the OC at the Jets. So guess what he's been going against for the past, I don't know, 6 years? That defense. So, of course, he knows how to beat it. And Garrett Wilson just had a heck of a day. I mean, that kid, woo-wee, go Bucks. But I think that, like I say, for the most part, I felt confident like that they were doing okay. Like they did well. And I think that this loss is a wake up call. Now it's serious. When you lose a game, see the Panthers, they won in spite of. When you lose because of the fact it's communication, it's always on your mind. So I'm not worried about it. They have the players. It's a little thing. It's a couple of things on the coaching side. In the last couple of drives that needs to be coached up to Dale Pitt. Not the Corey Davis play, because I keep telling everybody they was in cover three and Denzel was in two. So that's not on Dale Pitt. And then the touchdown to put him up, that one, you can put that, you can point the finger at Dale Pitt on that one. Because when you're in the red zone, they was in cover two in the red zone, and this is so good because I got to play safety for the under this defense, so I know exactly how you're supposed to do it. And you're supposed to put your heels on the goal line as safety, right? And you don't – I think I might have told y'all this before. I was talking to somebody. When you get down to the red zone, you everything happens fast, but you're supposed to slow your body down. So when you let the receivers, you let the routes take you into the end zone as a safety, you don't back up. Because if you back up and they run a hook right in front of you and throw it, that's a touchdown. So you have to let the routes take you into the end zone. Well, if you watch the play, Dale Pitt backed straight up in the end zone for like three to four yards deep in the end zone, and they hit Garrett Wilson, clears the linebacker, and Joe Flacco throw him a peel right in the window. If Dale Pitt is on heels is on the goal line, it makes his coverage tighter, which then makes Joe Flacco think about it, which then if he does think about it, it puts him closer to the ball and he would be there to make that play. So you could actually put that one on Dale Pitt. He has to be coached up better on that one. I'm pretty sure they told him don't back up in the end zone, but I would call that a brain fart on his part. But I do think that they just have the right players to do it. They just got to put it together for four quarters, and that's the thing. It's finishing. They have to finish the game. They're doing well for the first three quarters, and it's not even the whole fourth quarter. It's literally like two or three plays for the past.
Just like literally playing. Like I think it was Batonio that said what they they played the 58 minutes, not the full 60. Yeah. It's like
it's literally like two or three plays from the Panthers game and this game where it's just like y'all kind of.
But
just
those are costing. That's costing. Yeah. That's where look. I understand and appreciate your background in all of this, but it honestly makes me more mad.
What, because they play for 58 minutes?
No, well, yeah, obviously that one, but also for the pure fact that it's like, oh, we'll fix it next week. Well, we won. There's not any real, you talked about being in Seattle and that just like that urge to make sure that like you want to be that number one defense. Well, I want them to want that to be the number one defense. I do. They've been together long enough to want be able to want that and not go on Twitter and point fingers. This is the shit that we just don't need it. It's week two.
And that's
and we're already going on Twitter.
And that's the thing right there that's got me. That's probably why I'm not so mad about it, because it's just week two, you know? It's week two.
But we're dealing with this already in week two. Are you tweeting about it in week two?
I wasn't fortunate enough to be in a position like that, so I wasn't really tweeting too much.
You wouldn't. I know you wouldn't.
But no, because honestly, if I was in a position and if it was on me, I would literally just right in the press conference, I say, you know what? It was on me. I had a brain fart. I thought it was something else than what it was. Totally a miscommunication with me. I let my team down. Don't worry about it, though, because I will be better from this moment moving forward. I owe this city of Cleveland an apology, and I promise you that I'll get it done. That's the type of stuff I would do. But they don't have to – They're going to do it to their teammates. Like they're going to literally say that.
Are they? Because they're pointing fingers at them on social media.
Listen, Kevin Stefanski is the head coach. Everybody, he established the culture with the media. You're not going to ever get anything out of too many people like that for the Browns because they're all followers of Kevin Stefanski, and he just has like a no-nonsense tolerance when it comes to media. So you're never, ever going to hear people really down their brothers or tell you what really happened in the media. You have to just kind of know these people. So it's one of those things that they're going to fix in-house. They're going to talk about it in that because that film session today, I'm going to tell you right now, it wasn't beautiful at all. Like it was some words being said. When we had a start like this in San Fran, you know what we start doing? If you give up a touchdown or you blow an assignment, that's $500 in the pot. That's you start clocking some money on it. Now it's like, all right, now I got to be locked in. So I would suggest that they get that going because right now it's a couple of dudes on that defense that owe down and they need to pay up for that. But like I say, Thursday is going to tell me everything I need to know. It's a short week. You have to turn the page. because Pittsburgh lost, and the everything you still, Holly, everything that you wanted at the beginning of the season is still there. Like, I don't.
We're very lucky that pretty much our whole division is.
Everything. No, even if they would have won, even if everybody won, it's still there. Everything that you wanted to do, you still want to win this division. You still want to go to the Super Bowl. Everything is still there. The positive thing, the best thing that happened yesterday was that the offense with Jacoby Brissett and Amari Cooper looked really good. That's first of all. So thank God for that. We actually can throw the ball and be effective throwing the ball. We needed to see that. And the fact that they blew that coverage was perfect, because now they'll never do it again. I promise you they will never do it again, because they're going to be communicating. They're going to over-exaggerate this communication. So I think it's a blessing in disguise. I'm so anxious to see how they respond on Thursday, because obviously they're going to be mad. They're still going to be upset, and they have to find a way to get this bad taste out of their mouth.
Well, that's what I don't feel like I see. I don't feel or see that they're pissed. I don't.
How would you see that? Because they're not going to get on social media and just, you know.
No, but I think any demeanor in any press conference of just being like, yeah, like, we're never going to let this – saying, I'm never – not going to let this happen again. Amen. Like, this is – saying anything that shows any – and I know, because Stefanski, it's become a running joke. I contribute to this joke every week of where I work for our Hey Stefanski bit, where we take boring quotes from Stefanski and use funny – you know, questions from our show. Like, we do that all the time. But in situations like this, it was the same things last year, man. Like, this every fucking week with Baker, and we were losing and losing. It was the same thing. At some point you want to see, and regardless, I know he doesn't want to have to show that much, but you got to show something. I want to see something. And if you do, I don't want to hear that it's the most disappointing thing was the fans, because that should be the last thing on your mind after that game, are the fans booing you. It should be.
I agree with that. I don't disagree.
It's just
with
it's
that.
Frustrating, as you know.
I think you're ticked off too early. I think that's what you I think you're concerned because of the past mistakes of what happened in the past, and that's.
And also, and because that. I know what we have, right? Like, that's why people are so pissed.
You think they don't? You think they don't?
I don't know. I don't know if they do. No, that's what's frustrating.
They do. And I think the main concern is that what happened to who it happened to, and the fact that the rest of the schedule is what it is. I think that's right there is what makes everybody nervous, because it's like, oh, we lost this easy game to the Jets.
Exactly.
Now we have to find a way to beat these hard teams and stuff like that, where nobody's really playing great ball right now. So anybody's beatable. There's no team that you turn the tape on and be like, oh, yeah, like right now they just look like they're going to the Super Bowl all the way. Like, there's really no team clicking. Maybe Buffalo, maybe, but outside of them, nobody else is really clicking like that. So
I'm not giving up on them already. Week two, I'm not giving up on them already. But it's frustrating because of – who is on this team, because of the fact that we've had a somewhat of a consistent coaching staff and management, like, for the first time. And when you know that we have to just kind of get through this stretch before Watson comes back, and the fact that there's not any, I don't feel like there's any real drive. Like you said, yes, they do care. Yes, they do. Yes, they are mad. And I'm saying I don't see it. It's because I really don't. I don't feel it from them. So, yeah, I would love for Thursday for them to come out and play that way. And I don't like how we're just always so, we've been consistently bad. And then we were actually consistently good. And then we're like inconsistently good and bad last year. And now, like, I don't know where we fall, because we actually did play well on the offense. Jacoby looked really good yesterday. Amari Cooper, you talked about Amari Cooper last week, and we were going to start to see him shine, and we did.
I tell you, all of
these things, all of these other pieces were falling into place. Mm-hmm. And then this, and it's like, yeah, are they half-assing it at the last 2 minutes? Are they not paying attention? Like, this is where it should be the strongest to close out a game. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating when you watch this team for this many years, and this is what happens. And I know people have been watching it way longer than I have, watching this team lose every week. But when you have something in your grasp, and yeah, our standards are now higher with this team. They just, they are, they've won. So yeah, this is where we're at. So we're going to get pissed. So they should be making sure that every week they do have the number one D.
So my thing for you is this, Holly. One, have I ever steered you wrong?
No, I don't think so, no.
Okay, so do you believe me? Do you trust me when I tell you that this will be a wake-up call and they'll play a lot better, especially in the fourth quarter?
I hope so, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I do. It's.
I
don't like that it took this. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't like that it took this.
Me either. No, me either. I don't like that either. But I'd rather now than freaking week 17 or something like that. If it's going to happen, I'd rather the hiccup happen now. So now they a wake up call. What happened? What after week eight last week? They just turned into this top five defense. How about it now starts week 3? Wouldn't you like that? Now for the next 15 games, you see this defense wake up and play lights out. That's what I think would happen with this. That's where my mind is. Because why do I know that? Because I watched them do it last year, so I know that it's in there and they're going to do it again. Now, this game is going to be kind of tough because Jadeveon is out. So so somebody has to step up, and it's going to have to be Alex Reiter or somebody like that. But I think that it doesn't matter who it is. You have to come in there and you have to play with a pissed off mindset, because everybody's pissed about, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Everybody's pissed, and everybody will be locked in for this whole game, because the leaders of that, it's up to the leaders. It's up to Miles. It's up to Anthony. And it's up to J3 to make sure that these guys is locked in. This game Thursday night will tell me everything I need to know for the rest of the season, flat out. If they come out and dominate, then everything I told you was true. They come out there and lay an egg again, then we might have a different conversation next week on this podcast. But for some odd reason, man, I kind of know the guys that's there, and I kind of know that they're going to get this thing fixed, and I know it means a lot to them. Do they show their emotion? You don't need to see their emotions on social media or anything like that. We need to see it? Each other. They need to show each other that they care. And I'm sure they had those conversations, like I say, because they keep everything in-house there. And we'll find out everything we need to know on Thursday when they play Pittsburgh, because it's still a rivalry. Both teams are still in the same spot in the division, so it's a divisional game. They need to go up. They need to win so they can be up in the division. So there is no room for slacking. Ain't no excuses, no nothing. Like, they have to play perfect football. And that if we don't see that, then there's some room for concerns.
And you have not steered me wrong, by the way.
Oh, thank you. You know, I try to keep it real with you.
You have. You do.
Hardcore truth.
you have talked me off many ledges. That's for sure.
Yeah, don't burn your brown stuff and put it in your dress.
No, but I didn't wear it to the grocery store yesterday. I took it off.
Don't do that. No, you gotta be with them up and down. And I think the Myles Garrett situation is so this is the thing. They asked him that question.
They didn't ask him that though.
After this loss, it's a lot on your mind after a loss like this. And I don't think that is the right time to even be speaking on that, because, like, and I hate to say this, but in the grand scheme of things, does that really matter? Does that, like, what
it
they,
doesn't
what, if they cheer,
it shouldn't,
what, does that matter in the grand scheme of things? No, it doesn't, because what's most important, and I hate saying this to the fans, but what's most important is the guys that's in the locker room. Like, that's
of course,
that's the approval that you care about the most. What people say to you on social media is always going to waver. It's either going to be up or down. And I was always taught to never take a compliment to the head and never take an insult to the heart. Like, that's what I was always taught. And that's exactly the mindset that they should have as well. So the people that's going to be consistent, that's always going to be there for you, whether you right or wrong, is going to be those guys in the locker room. So the booing shouldn't even faze him at all. Now, granted, you want these people to come out and support you. Yes, you do. You want them to come out there, support, be around you, rally, because that their energy and their passion do affect you a little bit on the field, especially on third downs when the stadium gets loud and the fans is after it. You feel that energy, and that's, you want that. So yeah, that's when it matters. But for the most part, and I hate to say this, but the only approval that players really care about is the ones in the locker room.
And that's fine. But at some point, when you're assuming that role as a professional football player like that, making all of that money, knowing that those fans, granted, I know where a lot of that money's coming from, and it ain't coming from the fans. Sorry, fans. It's coming from the agreements, the carriage agreements and everything. That's where the most of that money is coming from that they're getting paid on. And obviously the owners. However, those fans are using what does seem to be like a lot of money to them, showing up at that stadium, maybe taking off work. You know, my brother spent a good chunk of money on tickets for his family last week in Charlotte, you know, like, and thank God he can afford it, right? But he still took out a lot of money to witness something like that that doesn't always happen down where he lives. Mm-hmm. So there has to be that factor. If you have any, and especially someone like Miles, who does have that compassion that we've seen, that's where it gets frustrated, and it's just not necessary. He didn't even get asked that question, you know, and that's what he offered up, that was even worse. And that how, I don't know how that could be worse. And maybe for him, it did affect him. Right. We all say things. Look, I was tweeting up a storm this week. Okay. Yesterday.
Were whatever. You really? Oh, sure I was. Gotta go back and check.
Oh, man, jobs lost, Tyvus. I was on one.
Attention to it. I was busy doing my therapy session.
You were. I even texted you that I was gonna call in. Disguise my voice.
It wasn't as bad though.
It's assuming, Tyvus, you know, you gotta play the game on the field and off the field. You have to appease. That's what people do. There's a certain amount of a personal, and it's business, but there's also that point of trying to be likable, to try and appease the fans, to try and play that type of game that's off the field. As celebrities have to do it, anyone in the public eye has to do it to satisfy that, especially with people that really do take this to heart. And no, do they owe us anything? No, because they're in and out. This is their business. But there has to be that certain point. And if you're going to at all, you don't blame them for something. That's where I get mad about.
Well, this is the thing. This is how I always viewed it. First of all, I don't put on an act for fans. As you know, I just be myself. That's one. And this is the thing. The one thing that not only do you owe, you if you quote unquote owe the fans, and you kind of owe it to yourself, is the only promise is to go out there and go as hard as you can for as long as you can. That's it. That's all people really can ask.
But they're not doing that, right?
How do you know that?
58 minutes. They said it themselves.
So you telling me you don't think the pass rush was still trying this, but that you think they just went out there and was like, yeah, let's just go ahead and chill on the pass rush. You think that?
After last week,
I don't.
Into this week,
I don't see it that way.
I do.
I don't see it that way. I think you allowing these coverage busts to make you think to forget about other people. You're so caught up in the fact that it was a touchdown that you're not even paying attention to the effort of the D line or the linebackers. All you see is two or three DBs jogging behind somebody because they messed up. And that's and in your mind, all 11 of them did it. No, it's not like that. You need to really just pinpoint
that. But they all lose together or you win
together,
right?
They all lose. Yeah, they all lose. And that right there is when they need to be held accountable. Because this is my pet peeve too. I can't stand. My number one thing about football, and it's probably because I'm a DB, the number one thing I hate seeing in football is coverage bust. It is literally, it grinds my gear and it makes me literally want to go out there and punch somebody. But I keep my composure. But like I say, I would have to go back and look at it, but I'm almost willing to bet that everybody went as hard as they can because they know it's at stake. If we get off the field, the game's over. So to me, you should be on high alert. You should play even harder in those moments. And for some odd reason, they just have not been on the same page in the secondary. And it's truly cost them.
Yeah, get on the same page. We haven't had a secondary this season yet. All right. Well, we're going to get to next week. We'll wrap up. We'll get to next week. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Chase Smith. And I'm here to tell you about our wonderful longtime friends over at Aligned Health Center. Did you know Aligned Health Center is the first and only chiropractic biophysics clinic in Northern Ohio? There is no other chiropractic clinic in the area that does what Aligned Health Center does. Let me tell you all about them. And I should know, I just went to them last month and they were incredible. From the welcome staff to the technicians and the doctors, it was an incredible experience. And I know you're going to enjoy your time there. Chiropractic biophysics is a technique that actually reshapes the spine and restores it to its original correct position. At most chiropractors you go in, you just get an adjustment and you're left with that short-term relief, but it's not actually fixing the underlying structural issues. But at Aligned Health Center, they actually aim to correct the structural issues and provide long-term relief to their patients. I'm talking about back pain, neck pain, migraines, ADHD, digestive issues, sleep disturbance, whiplash, scoliosis, and knee pain. Yes, that's right. They can even help correct lifelong knee pain. And it gets better. They're opening a huge, brand new state-of-the-art facility in Westlake. It's going to look so, so nice. I saw the floor plans. It looks incredible. You're going to love it. And in addition to chiropractic biophysics, they also offer regenerative medicine, which is a way to help rebuild cartilage in various joints and help reduce pain in places like knees, shoulders, wrists, and even your lower back. You can check them out online at AlignedHealthCenters.com. That's Aligned Health Centers with an S, AlignedHealthCenters.com, or call at 440-385-7357. Again, that's 440-385-7357. 7357 to schedule your exam. We will put the website and the phone number in the show notes of this episode.
Hey everybody, it's Sam Amico from Cavs on the Break NBA podcast. Be sure to give us a listen for all your Cleveland Cavaliers recaps, analysis, breakdowns, draft talk, free agency. The list goes on and on. Give us a listen, Cavs on the Break NBA podcast.
Looking for new insights on the Cleveland sports scene with a unique side of Cleveland sports history? Then you found the perfect podcast. I'm John Sable.
And I'm Scott Sable, and we're hosts of the Sable Brothers on the Baseline podcast, a podcast about Cleveland sports, but not your typical podcast about the land's sports teams. Join us as we embark on a journey of sharing a unique and historical side of Cleveland sports history with the help of some former Cleveland sports stars and other historical figures.
All right here on the Sable Brothers on the Baseline podcast, part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
All right, we're back on the Orange is Oranger Cleveland Browns podcast. I'm trying to be a lot nicer with this introduction than I was the first time we started this episode. So I kept saying next week, which it's this week, which is next week. It's week three, but it's this week with the Steelers. I was listening to Mike Tomlin's press conference a little bit today before we went on. You know, it's what do you see, Tyvus? I guess. Let me ask you this. What are you most worried about with the Steelers? Let's start there.
Their defense. Their defense, and I think they have a young offense, but their receiving core is pretty good. You know, they're young. They kind of remind me of the Jets. You know, they got some guys that can really make plays and can change games if you let them. But if you get up on them, they won't really have an answer for you. With Najee Harris having that Liz Frank sprain on his foot, he hasn't really been himself. So I'm not really concerned about him, but I am concerned about allowing Mitch Trubisky to feel comfortable. And if he feels comfortable, then he can be dangerous in that and make plays. But the defense is always what Pittsburgh has been known for.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, our offense played really well. Obviously they don't have TJ Watt, so that's a huge plus, but they'll still find a way to get after Jacoby Brissett. And everybody knows he's not the most mobile guy. He can do it, but he's not the most mobile guy. So I think it's up to these receivers to get open in the passing game. But my concern is that now that Amari Cooper has put what he's put on tape, they're going to have a plan for him. Like, mm-hmm. So it's going to have to be somebody else, because they're going to have four eyes on him at all times.
Tyvus, are you scared of Mitch at all? Are you scared of Mitch? Do you think that
this is what I will say. I wasn't too scared of Joe Flacco with that.
Wow. That happened.
The thing about Mitch Trubisky is, am I scared of Mitch? Mitch was a first-round talent. Mitch is from Cleveland. So he's going to have that on his shoulder. And Mitch has some mobility to him. And that part is the part that scares me.
Well, I just don't want to be, I don't want to underestimate him, right? I want to I never want to underestimate the Steelers.
After the Joe Flacco thing, I don't think nobody will ever underestimate anything, which is great. That's why I'm glad it happened. That's another aspect that I'm glad that it happened. You have to respect everybody, which they should have already known that. But with Mitch Trubisky, he brings that mobility aspect in it. And now that you don't have Jadeveon, see, now you could throw that double team. You could throw that double team towards Myles Garrett, and we could just take chances with Alex Wright or whoever's on the other side. So that part kind of scares me a little bit. But Alex Wright did a great job in the preseason. Granted, it was the preseason, but he showed some flashes. So I'm not worried. I think he can be effective.
That's a good answer. Effective, right? Use it the right way too. But yeah, it's hard for me to ever count the Steelers out. Mike Tomlin is a fantastic coach, and he knows the Browns, and he sure is good at press conferences, by the way.
You like that?
He wins press conferences, I feel like. Yeah, exactly. Tyvus is doing his dance from, what was that, last week? The week before? Week one. well, we'll see. So what's your prediction then, I guess? Let's wrap up there. And you're going to the game. I think I'm going to the game, so I think I'm going to see you Thursday.
Yeah, I'll be in the press box, but you know, I could come down.
Oh, you can come down to see me.
Yeah, I'll come down. But
such a cool thing to say. Oh, Taj, I gotta tell you, Tyvus was just, I got like 5 like screenshots of DMs at least in the past like 10 hours from Tyvus. Yeah. Of just all these people asking him to be on their shows, and
I don't know why.
I don't know either.
I don't know what I offer that the average American don't. But
well, you offer the fact that you've been in that locker room. Like I said, that's such a and especially with the fact that that's where we're struggling on the defensive end of the ball, and that's where you lived. That's a big it's a big advantage. Okay.
Well, my score prediction for this game, I don't believe it'll be a high scoring game. I think both defenses will come out and be very aggressive and try to set the tone early. I'm going to go on the line to say that it's going to be a 13-7 point game, and I'm going with the Browns in some redemption and revenge game, putting everybody's mind at ease and pretty much showing everybody that Tyvus is a genius and he actually knows what he's talking about. Coverage bust. I think that'll be the least of our worries.
Sure, better be.
I could see some missed tackles or something like that, but as far as the coverage bust go, I think that'll be A1A.
Because we fixed that, Tyvus. We fixed that.
I'm gonna tell you why. Because due to the fact that it's a short week, you really don't have a lot of time to even install anything crazy. So you pretty much in these situations, teams just carry over their game plan. So you could really go back and watch whoever Pittsburgh played. Who they play? They lost by 3 points.
They lost to the Patriots last week.
Okay, yeah. So they'll pretty much, if I'm a defensive player, I'm gonna go back and watch their offense versus the Patriots defense, because they have to carry that over, because they only have 2 days to try to install something. So it'll be a lot of rollover plays in this short week. As long as they get over on that and they got a handle on that, then they should be fine, you know? So, and obviously they have to correct today. I'm sure they was out on that field walking through those corrections. They have to correct what they did, the mistakes this week and from the Panthers week, because whatever what Robbie Anderson did and whatever that tight end did when he was wide open, which I already explained those last pod, they're going to go see if those are fixed, and they're going to come back to those. They're going to see probably a bunch of close formations, a bunch of bunch formations, so they can't press and they have to play off. And, yeah, that's pretty much what you'll see. It'll be a pretty – if you watched last week's game, you'll pretty much see the same thing. this week.
And that's enough, right? That's what I want just enough to be able to get to win that game, right? That's where we need to get. I got 13, every week. 13 we want to survive.
Kay York goes 100% field goals.
I think he will. I think he will. I'm going to say 17-14. I think. I don't know. I don't know what way it'll go. I'll say the Browns. Just to end it on a positive note.
You lost because faith this early, man. Wow.
I don't underestimate. Look, I don't have faith. I don't think much of Mitch. I don't think Mitch is going to be our problem. I do think at the defense, and I don't underestimate Mike Tomlin. I just don't. And the Steelers, we don't have the best track record against our supposed rival. We don't. So we just don't. Now, granted, we beat them last year twice.
Then we lose twice. We lost
them. We lost them twice last year.
Yeah, Baker was horrible. Remember, he was. They put
him. Yeah, that last game. Yeah, I know. The close out the game. Ah. Or not the last game. The second to last game. Whatever that game was. Second to last game. Yeah, they didn't play the last game.
Yeah, they put Baker out there to die last year. He, who we?
2020 is when we beat them. 2021, we did not. So here we are. Well, I'll say the Browns. 17-14. Okay.
So when I see you Thursday, you're going to have your Browns gear on?
I'll have my work gear on.
That's really sad, Holly. I never thought I.
Why? I wear my work gear because I have to work.
So you ain't going to have like a hat, nothing, huh?
You know what I have? I have the orange brown starter jacket that Deshaun wore like the first.
That one that it probably sold like hotcakes off the rack.
Mm-hmm. It was given to me.
That's a nice gift, actually.
So when it gets a little chilly in there, actually Thursday's supposed to be only a high, I think, of 60 or something. So it's going to be on the chillier end. Thursday night.
I have my work gear on. I have a.
What is your work gear?
A polo, slacks.
Oh.
Well, I don't have to be slacks. You just have to look presentable.
All right. I'll check you out. I'll let you know my thoughts. I'll give you my rating.
Hopefully, I get to see my boy Sherm, man. He's supposed to, you know, he calls it down. He's going to be down there. I'm going to see if I can.
You need to. I know I keep texting you about this, but if he ever wants to talk about the Cleveland Browns. He's
too big time, man.
I know. But you can just always make sure that invitation's out there.
Oh, he knows. Listen, I talked to him today. Actually, he called me today, and we was walking over to Denzel and the coverage bus. Cause I was looking at the one.
What did he say about it?
Me and him is like this. If I say it, he probably goes. Okay. We're at a point where he trusts my judgment. It's hilarious because I would say it and then I would be like, sure, dude, what you think on this? And he'd be like, oh, exactly what you said. So it's funny that we see eye to eye on things. But I was talking to him about the one coverage bus where Breece Hall, I think it was Breece Hall, caught the wide open thing and scored.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at it. I'm like, man, I think they in cover two, but the way that they played it, it was like a different look. Like it looked, they only had three down linemen, which in the red zone, that's terrible. And they brought in an extra DB. So they had basically three safeties. So I'm like, man, is it cover three? Because if it's cover three, the jock busted. But then I'm looking at it again. And I'm like, first of all, Denzel messed up because in the red zone, you should never press. I learned that from Sherm. Don't press in the red zone because if you press, like that gives a quarterback to look like, or if they press and he beats them off the line, I could throw this fade. But if you play off, it takes away the fade. They like, all right, I'm not about to throw a fade route on a corner that's playing off. So, and the number one call that they want to call in the red zone is a fade anyway. So I didn't like the fact that he was pressed, but you know, it's more than one way to skin a cat. So if that's what he was comfortable with, then so be it. But the reason that I looked at it, I'm like, Sherm, I'm pretty sure that they ain't covered too, is because one, Denzel was pressing on his outside pad. And you only do that in cover two because you want to force him to take the inside route. So I'm like, I think he definitely was in cover too. So after he did that, he gets hands on him, and then you can see Denzel trying to hinge off. And by that time, it's too late because the running back is already in the flats. But if he would have played off, which down in the red zone, you don't need to reroute anyways, because the route, it was already kind of a condensed split anyways. They're pretty much rerouted anyways. You just let the routes play off and you pick up, you know, once it comes in your zone.
Mm-hmm.
And he would, if he would have done that, he would have been able to see that running back coming out the flats. He could have jumped it right away and made a play on that. But yeah, that was, you know, so I was, anyway, that me and Sharon were sitting there talking about it. And I'm just like, I couldn't figure it out, but I finally figured it out. And we came to the consensus that it seemed like they was running quarters up top and cover two at the bottom. And they ran like a little box, which I have to tell you what box is another day, but they was running box at the top and they were supposed to be in cloud at the bottom. And he was supposed to take that running back. Yeah, but
let's hope that they stop miscommunicating signals. Because that's,
well, that's not a communication thing. That's that's just he just messed up. I think if he would have just played off and played wide, he would have been able to see that running back. But I think he just tried to do too much on that play. That's what I think. He got so caught up in the reroute that he never got his eyes to see the running back coming out the flat. And that's, you know, that's he has to learn that. Somebody has to get in his ear and tell him, listen, we don't press in the red zone so you can see everything.
Well, then someone needs to do it, because it's right, I want to see this fixed. I want to see it fixed. I'm over it.
DB coach is, which I'm not sure who it is.
Isn't that, they have an assistant DB coach, right? Or is it just Joe Woods?
I have no idea.
I think it's just Joe Woods, but I don't.
Whoever his DB coach is needs to tell him you can't, in cover two, don't press. Really in the red zone, period, don't press. Just play off. Play off. And you, so you can see all the routes and you can let them declare you. It's a clear picture of what you want. But if you press, blurry up the whole situation. You can't see certain things, and obviously on that play he didn't see the running back. So yeah,
well, let's hope that they all just learn from the mistakes, and we'll leave it at that.
They have to. If they don't, then if you don't learn from, that's the thing about this league, if you don't learn it from your mistake, you won't be there you won't be there long. So yeah.
Well, yeah. After this week, this should be, yes, a massive wake up call across the board, top to bottom. Yeah, that's it.
If there's some more communication issues this week, it's time to make some changes. Whether, I don't know if it's in the secondary, whether it's the coach, it has to be some type of communication. I mean, it got to be some type of change, because something's not clicking. Or especially the same people, if the same people keep making the same coverage, but something's not clicking, and they need to. You need to take them out and put somebody in there that is registering to.
And I wouldn't be afraid to bench. I'm afraid to sit. You're not gonna, if you're not going to take the time to learn.
You know, get me out there. I tell everybody what they got. I ain't been out there in three years, but I still know it like the back of my hand. And I tell everybody what you got. If you don't know, ask me. I'll get you right.
I would be on the field cheering you on.
Tyvus Power, you know, it didn't mean much because I'm from Cleveland, so it means more to me. And I make sure, like,
I hope
I'll be out there. Like, listen, we ain't doing this. Not in my city. Y'all not doing this.
But see, I'm not gonna go all back into it, but just those few comments. I think you just saying that, you being from here, I think those little things. Not that I need the guys that aren't from here to say those things, obviously, but to say anything that's going to get the fans back in the corner, right? Like that's where they need to be, saying enough to get them back hooked in. They know what to do, what to say. They've all been coached off the field on this stuff.
They're not going to say anything. You know how they get the fans back? Win. Just win.
Well, of course. That goes without saying.
Win and show us some energy and some attitude and some fight and finish the game. That's it. That's all they want to see.
Show us fight and finish the game. 100%. And that's what they're not doing. And in the meantime, don't blame the fans. That's all. Don't blame the fans in the meantime. Okay? I'm going to end it at that.
Do that.
Well, that does it for us this week. On the Orange is Oranger. Tyvus, thanks again, as always, for putting up with me
It's a blessing in disguise. The better days are coming soon, Holly. And you're gonna be like, you're gonna look back and you're gonna be like, I can't believe I was even tripping over them in week two, man. It's week two. It's such a long season. So I have no doubt in my mind that this team will has gotten the wake up call that they need.
And I'll be tripping forever with the Cleveland Browns. Okay.
It's cool. You know what? That's good. It's good to get the blood boiling. You know, it's healthy for you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tell that to my blood pressure. All right. That wraps us up. Make sure to like and subscribe. And tune in next week when we break down the hopeful win against the Steelers. And Tavis, why don't you say it this week?
Go Browns! Here we go, Brownies. Here we go.
Very nice.